National.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Jackson Vunganyi for hosting Thursday's show. It's good to be back in the big chair behind my trusty Voice of America microphone. Our big African football story this week was the Nations Cup draw in Cameroon. 24 teams were placed into six groups of four each for the African football showpiece, which kicks off on January 9th, 2022. Yawafusu Larbi traveled to Cameroon's capital, Yaounde, for the draw. And Yao joins us now. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The draw for the Africa Cup of Nations was completed earlier this week in Cameroon's capital, Yaounde. It was a gathering of some of Africa's top football names: El Hadj Diouf, Didier Drogba, Samuel Eto'o, Algeria's Rabah Majer, Roger Miller, and many others. Ghana was drawn in a group with Morocco, Gabon, and AFCON debutants Comoros. Ghana's coach Sike Akono, who featured for the country at the tournament in his playing days, says it will be tough, but he expects the Black Stars to make it out of the group.
It's okay. I didn't come here with a lot of expectation of which group I want to be in. Nowadays football is evolving, and so you cannot expect anything. What it is that we are preparing feverishly for this tournament. Of course, the coming matches in the World Cup, and I'm sure we'll be ready for this tournament.
The Black Stars played Morocco in one of two friendly games lined up for the month of June by the Ghana Football Association, which they lost 1-0. Sike Akono says playing that friendly is a blessing in disguise for his team.
We had a strong friendly the last month, a few months ago, against Morocco, and thank God Morocco is in our group. It gives us an idea of the opener, and so I'm thankful for the FA for organizing that. Listen, we know what it is. You know, Ghanaians are yearning for the cup. We'll do our best to get it.
West African counterparts Guinea have also been paired with fellow West Africans Senegal, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. It looks a tall order now for the Sahli national, but with players like Sidibé Bassoma and Naby Keita, they will look to go past the Teranga Lions. The last fixture against Senegal was in November last year, and it ended 1-0 in favour of the Teranga Lions. Will it be time for revenge next year at the AFCON tournament? Didier Six is Guinea's coach.
It's not as hard, and all the team are very, very good, and all the group is difficult. And for us group, we play against Senegal, but we don't have a schedule for the Senegal. I think we play game after game, and we start with the first game where we give the concentration for the first game, and after, when the day of we play against Senegal, we have a spirit and a force to play against Senegal.
The Africa Cup of Nations begins on January 9 next year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Yaounde.
Thanks, Yao. For more analysis of the Nations Cup draw, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
Sadly, I do not think that the numerical advantage that West Africa sub-region has at the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations next January will have anything to say in terms of the title favorites. Yes, we've got the talents in West Africa, but I do not think we've done enough to maximize these talents over the years. You know, when you for you to win a competition, you have to be solid as a unit, not just on an individual level. When you look at countries like Algeria, like Egypt, like Tunisia, like Morocco, what they've always enjoyed, tournaments after tournaments, is the togetherness and the way they are organized as a unit. So that's why I don't think, yes, maybe Senegal having reached the final 2 years ago, and then Nigeria, you know, they've always gotten to the semi-final of this tournament many times. Yes, we have a lot of things to say. And Cote d'Ivoire as well. I think a lot of talents are springing up for the Elephants. But again, like I said, it goes beyond just having the individual talents. That's why I'm not totally sure that the West African teams will be able to push the North African sides all the way. Because for me, the favorites in Cameroon will still remain defending champions, Algeria. We have Egypt, who, of course, shockingly lost at the second round stage when they hosted the tournament 2 years ago. We have Morocco. It's been a while. They've won the tournament. We have, of course, Tunisia as well. These are countries that they naturally are always very organized in major competitions, and they are still the favorites for me.
Do you think the presence of more West African teams in the 33rd edition of AFCON will be a threat to rivals like North African teams?
It is quite interesting to see West African teams constituting around half of the 24 teams that will be on parade in Cameroon. And that goes to show us something which we always know. The region is blessed with enormous footballing talent. The region is so blessed, not only in football, in all aspects of life, but you ask ourselves, why has the region been the underdeveloped region among majority of the African continent? You know, look at the football powerhouses in Africa. You mentioned Nigeria's Super Eagles. You mentioned the Elephants of Cote d'Ivoire. You mentioned the Black Stars of Ghana. You mentioned the Teranga Lions of Senegal, amongst all others. Now we have at least 11 of them going to Cameroon. But this has not really reflected in terms of sports and football development in that particular region. I just hope that we in that region can just sit back and take a good look at ourselves, take a good look at where we should be, considering the enormous talents that is within our disposal, considering, you know, the blessed nature that we have around us. So it's very interesting, like I said, but for some of us, it's not a surprise. It's been like that. At the last AFCON in Egypt, we had 9 West African teams as well. So it's always been like that. But when are we going to make that count in terms of development of football? In the continental club competitions, West African teams are far behind the Northern Africans and the Southern Africans. Even in this competition, the AFCON, we've not been doing as much as we should compared to our Northern African rivals. So this development should make leaders, football leaders, the administrators in West Africa to sit down and think that we should be doing better than we are doing at the moment.
Looking at the 6 groups, which could be called the toughest or the group of death?
Well, for me, I do not think there is any group that is worthy of being named after the group of death tag, because my own definition of group of death is a group where any of the 4 teams have equal chances of progress, at least on paper. But when you look at the groupings, I think there are always 2 top teams in the groups, except group B, that is close to me, because when you take away Senegal beating finalists in the last edition, you want to think that any of the 3 between Zimbabwe, Guinea and Malawi can progress. So maybe that's close to being group of death. But when you look at the other groups, in group A, Cameroon and Burkina Faso are favorites. In group C, Morocco and Ghana, obviously. In group D, Nigeria and Egypt. Yes, Sudan also have an outside chance. Group E, Algeria and Cote d'Ivoire as well. But over, you know, on a broader scale, I don't think there is any of such group that is one of the effects of having a 24-nation tournament, really. Had it been it was a 16-nation tournament or a 32-nation tournament, you have teams with equally matched strength coming against one another. So for now, I don't think there are much in terms of group of death, save for a little bit of group B, like I mentioned earlier, after Senegal might have progressed expectedly as the group leaders. Maybe any of the other 3 teams can join them.
That's Fasayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho Sredovic, coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The Federation of Uganda Football Associations, FUFA, recently brought back Coach Micho to lead the Cranes. He previously coached the team between 2013 and 2017. Joining us now from Kampala with a feature profile is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty Friday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Friday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Uganda Cranes coach Milutin Sredovic Micho was last month appointed by the local soccer governing body, FUFA, on a 3-year renewable contract. While being unveiled, Micho, also nicknamed Selun Joji, started his maiden address to the media, speaking in Luganda, a local dialect, and said it was an emotional return for him to coach the Uganda Cranes yet again.
Whatever has been in negative way that time, I would like to apologize as a human being. I would like to thank here President and FUFA because they have cleared everything what has been between us in that time. I was on the crossroads. I had two roads to choose. One road of football soul that got wounded with choosing the other road of economical stability. And going that road, I was for 4 years dreaming the day when I will come in front of you in order to heal my wounded soul together with all of you. I was physically not around, but my football soul was around in every single moment that happened. Dream of going to the World Cup eluded that time, and that wound that was inside me, I came to heal together with you.
Micho surprised many Uganda football fans when he announced his resignation to join South African club Orlando Pirates soon after helping the Cranes' participation at the 2017 AFCON Finals, where the Cranes were voted as the 2016 CAF National Team of the Year.
Yes, I was born in Serbia 51 years ago, but I was football-wise born in Africa here in Uganda, there at Villa Park. I grew up as a coach here in Uganda.
Micho started his coaching career with a stint at local club SC Villa in early 2000s, with whom he helped win both domestic and regional titles. Micho said he's ready to work with other football partners, including former national team players and coaches, for a better of Ugandan football. He said he's in touch with many ex-internationals, including former captains Ibrahim Sekaja, now at Major League Soccer, New York Red Bulls technical bench, Dennis Onyango, David Obua, and Anne Mwesigwa, among others.
I want to see the spirits of people that have played and made a stamp in Ugandan football with the Uganda Cranes in a constructive, critical aspect so that improving us to get better.
Local Football Association President Engineer Moses Magogo says with Coach Micho, the local FA will develop football by empowering youth development and improve domestic leagues for both women and men. He says consequently, this will help Uganda to be successful at an international level.
Football, you become a victim of your own success. That's what football has been. That's how football has built. The DNA of football is when you get success, the shadow of that success is a new challenge. When Zambia wins the Africa Cup of Nations, they find one to go to the World Cup. As simple as that. And that's a true human football fan. If you are not that, then you are not a true human football fan. A football fan wants more. When you win one, he wants two. When you win two, he wants five. And that is okay. That's what I am. That's what you are. As the people in charge of the team, we have to change our aspirations and our energies. That's why we have come up as the FA and said our sight, our objective is to qualify for the World Cup 2026.
When he left Uganda, Micho coached in several African countries, South Africa, Rwanda, Ethiopia, Egypt, and more recently, Zambia's Chipolopolo, and says he has gained more experience.
If I had that time 256 GB, now I'm on terabytes, having in mind the experience that I have passed through. And when I'm talking about that, I have come here in art approach, accountability, responsibility, and transparent approach to serve the football in Uganda in the crossroads that we are here.
Sports analyst Vianney Simbe tells the Sunny Side of Sports that Mitchell is the right coach for the Uganda Cranes at the moment.
For many people, they feel that Mitchell's departure was a very, very big kick in the teeth for Ugandan football in 2017 because the national team was very, very close to making the World Cup in 2018. And in a way, he has a debt to pay because of that, because some people are really hurt by that. And some people were very hurt by him, the fact that he left at that time. And I'm sure he's taking it in good faith because they know that if he had stayed, there was a very good chance that Uganda could have gone to the World Cup.
And one fan came along to see Micho as he was being unveiled.
Ole, ole, Uganda Cranes, oye, ole, ole, ole. Yes, my name is Biaruhang Abdallah, Uganda Cranes fan. We are happy today. I think they're going to take the Uganda World Cup. We're going to World Cup next season.
It remains to be seen if Micho will fulfill the dreams of fans like Biaruhanga. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakaringi in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. Samson Omale joins us now with a spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of African sports action for this weekend with a look at the 2021 Under-20 World Athletics Championships being held in Kenya. The five-day event, which began on the 18th of August, will run until the 22nd of August at the Kasarani Stadium in Nairobi. Every 2 years, young athletes from more than 100 countries compete. For many athletes, age group events are the pathway to the senior scene. After 3 days of competition, I asked athletics reporter Deji Ogeimbo, who is covering the championships in Nairobi, how he will rate the ongoing Under-20 World Athletics Championships in terms of organization, quality of participation, and fans' attendance.
Well, the championships has been massive for world athletics. It was on the verge of being cancelled because of the COVID pandemic. Nairobi was given the hosting rights in 2018 after they successfully hosted the World Youth Championships in 2018. They've done a decent job, to be honest. In terms of quality of participation, a bit sad. Some of the top countries, like the United States, pulled out due to COVID concerns. Same as Great Britain, too. Again, Germany are also not participating, and Australia. But it hasn't taken much gloss out of the competition itself. Jamaica, Nigeria, about 119 nations are participating, so it's still big for world athletics. Well, for fans, it's still restricted. It's just locals and volunteers attending the competitions, but the atmosphere is still pretty good.
Deji, this is an age grade competition. Do you see any potential from Africa's participation of raising the next generation of athletics superstars?
Well, the first 2 days of the competition has shown that Africa has got a huge stride to pull through going further, especially in the sprints. The likes of Lesile Tebogo won the men's 100 meters, become the first Botswanan to do that at the major championships. Benjamin Richardson of South Africa followed him through in second. Sadly, Gosun Brume, who was the top ranked 100 meter runner coming in, couldn't get in on the medal. He had a bit of injury during the race, and the women's race to again likes of Tina Clayton. There's a lot to look forward to. Over the middle distance, it's been dominated by Kenya and Ethiopia. Likes of Krista Chesang basically missed out on the medal for Uganda. She comes to the Olympic Games too. So there's a lot of prospects over the 200 meters too again.
Now, we're a few days away from the end of the World Under-20 Championships. What should we expect from the rest of the competitors?
Well, massive fireworks, especially with the relays. Nigeria-Jamaica seems to be the favorite. It seems to be one of the best events to look forward to. Kenya over the 5,000 and 3,000 steeplechase, they've dominated. The roar when they are performing, it's been big and massive. In the end, a six-day competition was crammed into a five-day competition because of COVID concerns. but it's still going strong, and hopefully we get a befitting end to this competition.
That was athletics reporter Deji Ogembo joining me from the Kasarani Stadium in Kenya, venue of the 2021 Under-20 World Athletics Championships. Now to basketball. The Afro Basket Tournament will get underway on Tuesday, August 24th to September the 5th in Kigali, with 16 teams competing. The Rwandan Basketball Federation has announced that spectators will be allowed into the Kigali Arena to watch games of the African Basketball Championship. FIBA Afro Basket 2021 Venue Solutions Director Kyle Sculfade gives an insight into the preparations for the biggest basketball festival on the African continent.
For us, being able to host Afro Basket this year, like I say, it sends a strong message. We are extremely privileged and humbled to be able to host this event. And you know, from a team perspective, we appreciate this and really are behind it in every way we possibly can be. Because like I said, it plays such a vital role in our success as Kigali Arena.
The Ugandan national men's basketball team, the Silverbacks, have arrived Kigali for the FIBA Afro Basket Championship. The team departure from Kampala comes weeks after funding problems delayed their preparations for the continental showpiece. Team captain Jimmy Enabo and team manager Grace Quizera have been speaking on their expectations and target ahead of their opener against Senegal on August the 25th.
We're excited. We're happy to be here. Obviously, leading to this, you know, leading to us coming here for the tournament, preparation for the tournament hasn't been so easy, but we're here. Our mindset is that we have to focus on the task at hand. So we're generally in the right mindset. Where I think we're on track to do what we need to do.
We set very high targets for ourselves. We would like to be in the final for this tournament, and our expectations that we're going to push to finish as high as possible.
The defending champions of the tournament is Nigeria's The Tigers. Head coach Mike Brown has announced his final 12-man roster for the 2021 FIBA Afro Basket holding in Kigali. Players plying the trades in Nigeria will also play a major role in the team's hunt for glory, with the inclusion of Rivers Hooper's point guard Ikechukwu Benjamin, as well as Koko Victor Anthony, the duo of Nwafor Celestine Joseph of Canopilas and Agu Ibe Aguchi of Agumbe Bulls completes the list of invited players from the Nigerian League. The team is expected to arrive in Kigali on Sunday the 22nd of August ahead of their first game against Mali on Wednesday the 25th of August. From basketball to boxing, Ghana's Alfred Lamte, popularly known as Bukom Bomber, who holds the West African Super Featherweight title, will face Tanzania's Idi Kayumba on September the 4th, 2021, for the WBO Youth World and WBC Youth Silver Super Featherweight Championship. The bout is scheduled for the Bukom Boxing Arena in Ghana. The supervisor for the bout, former Ghana Boxing Association president, Mrs. Samir Kaptan, says discipline is a key factor if African boxers must earn world titles.
Some of them lack discipline, and this is my worry. If you want to get to the top, be a world champion, you have to discipline yourself. As I've always been saying about Azuma Nelson, I called it DK Poison, they all compared themselves and got to the place where they want to get to, and they have carved the name for themselves. So now I believe the youth, the ones coming now, it's not their fault, it's the managers. They should control them.
The 23-year-old Idi Mustafa Ali Said, popularly known as Kayumba of Tanzania, has won 13 career fights. He has suffered 3 losses and 2 draws in 18 fights, while Alfred Lamte, who is also called Showtime, has won all his 8 professional fights. In cricket news, Zimbabwe will host the ICC Women's World Cup Qualifier 2021. The 10-team global tournament, which is scheduled for the 21st of November to the 5th of December, will decide the remaining 3 participants for the 50-over ICC Women's Cricket World Cup 2022 in New Zealand. The same event will also determine 2 qualifiers for the next edition of the ICC Women's Championship. The teams that will participate in the ICC Women's World Cup Qualifier 2021 are Bangladesh, West Indies, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Ireland, the Netherlands, Papua New Guinea, Thailand, the United States of America, and Zimbabwe. And now to football news. South Africa national men's football team, Bafana Bafana coach Hugo Broos, says he's looking forward to sitting on the bench for the first time when his team takes on Zimbabwe in a crucial 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifier on the 3rd of September. This will be followed by another fixture against the Black Stars of Ghana 3 days later. Hugo Broos will have his first ever training session since he was appointed as coach in May this year. The 69-year-old came in after Bafana Bafana failed to qualify for next year's African Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Although qualifying for next year's World Cup is not part of his mandate, Hugo Broos says he will do everything possible to see Bafana Bafana qualify for the Football Global Showpiece.
Who don't want to go to the World Cup? This is really one of the highlights of a career. I was so lucky to be once on a World Cup and for a player, but also for a country and also for the technical side of a team. It's a highlight. So you can be sure that we will do everything to be in Qatar next year.
And reactions in commentators continue to follow the draws of the 2021 AFCON scheduled for Cameroon, which was held earlier in the week. Gambia coach Tom Sinfeld says his Scorpions will be competitive at next year's TotalEnergies African Cup of Nations Cameroon 2021. The Gambia, who will be making their first ever appearance at the prestigious tournament, were placed in Group F following draw for the final head in Yaoundé.
Thanks, Samson, and good luck to the Scorpions of Gambia as they get ready for their maiden Nations Cup appearance. Olympic champion Jasmine Camacho Quinn cleared some historic barriers in winning the gold medal for Puerto Rico in the women's 100 meters hurdles at the recent Tokyo Games. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Jasmine Camacho Quinn won gold for Puerto Rico for only the second time in its history and for the first time in track and field. She set a new Olympic record in the 100-meter hurdles in the semifinals, and despite ultimately finishing with a time of 12.37 seconds, Camacho Quinn told Reuters News she gave herself a quick critique before her gold-winning performance finally sunk in.
At first, I was upset because I hit the hurdle, but I'm like, we're at the Olympics, and you just want a gold medal, like. And it hit me there. I was like, I just won an Olympic gold medal. Like, that's something huge. And I waited 5 years for this. So, I mean, the feeling is, you can't really describe it, honestly. It's just like a lot of excitement.
This year marks Camacho Quinn's second appearance at the Olympic Games, and hitting a hurdle would have been a devastating case of history repeating itself. She literally crashed out of the semifinals at the Rio Games in 2016 after she missed a hurdle and was disqualified. It's been 5 years since she had the chance to run in an Olympic final, and the 24-year-old says she arrived in Tokyo with the memory of Rio behind her.
Like, I came here not playing games. I just broke the Olympic record. And, you know, you only have a chance every four, this time 5 years, but usually every 4 years to do that. And I did it. My name's up there. it's an amazing feeling, though, just to be able to come out here and break the Olympic record and win the gold medal.
Camacho Quinn is a native of the U.S. state of South Carolina, born to parents who competed in track and field in college. Her father is African-American, but ahead of the Rio Games, Camacho Quinn made the decision to represent Puerto Rico at the Olympics in honor of her maternal roots.
Me being, I'm mixed, I let it be known, I have that choice. Like, I have that choice to represent. If I wanted to represent the U.S., I could. I want to represent Puerto Rico, I can, which I did. You know, but this is me representing a smaller country that's a part of me, and this gives a lot of kids hopes, and there's a lot of people like me out there that, you know, is mixed or grew up in the States, and, you know, we know our Puerto Rican roots, though. You know, like, I had the option. I chose Puerto Rico, and that's what it is.
And Camacho Quinn has a message for all young athletes in countries around the world.
Any athlete, it doesn't matter what sport that you do, when you step out there, give it your all, you know, and that's really it. Like, you have to be dedicated to what you do. Stay true to yourself.
Standing alongside Camacho Quinn on the podium was American Kenny Harrison, who won the silver medal. Harrison is the current world record holder in the women's 100-meter hurdles.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100-hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And Megan Tapper won bronze for the country of Jamaica. And in case you're wondering why Puerto Rico does not compete under Team USA, since 1948, the International Olympic Committee has recognized the U.S. territory as a separate entity from the United States, and Puerto Rico is considered to be a country in Olympic competitions. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the August 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.